It also explains why so many of the great prelates of Western Europe were more than willing to ride into battle. Now, to be sure, the bishops and archbishops and abbots came from the same aristocratic warrior class as the nobles and the kings and the great leading knights. But nonetheless, they felt that in fighting in battle, they were advancing the Christian cause against forces of darkness and evil. There were certain restrictions put upon them. The favorite example that is cited is that of Odo of Bayeux, the man who commissioned the Bayeux Tapestry. He was bishop of the city. He was a half-brother of William the Conqueror. And as a good churchman, while he did fight in battle, he made sure that he used a mace rather than a sword so that he didn't shed any blood. He simply hit someone and gave him a concussion instead. So there, you know, there were a certain amount of reasonable accommodations made. Now, this tradition of holy war, this tradition of martial ethos and fear of a spiritual world in league with the pagans, all of these traditions were also part of what stood behind efforts of Cluny and then later of the Reform papacy to put some sort of regulation and direction on the bellicose nobility of Western Europe. That is efforts to sponsor what are often known as the Peace of God and the Truce of God. This became a very common feature in the 10th and 11th centuries. What these were proclamations by bishops in certain districts to protect non-combatants in battle, the so-called Peace of God, and the Truce of God, not to fight on feast days. There were also efforts to ban the crossbow as a weapon used against Christians, because it was a rather nasty device. It could penetrate chain mail, for instance. That one never really worked. No one paid attention to that. And most of the enforcement of these peaces and truces really depended on how serious a secular lord was about these measures. But the notion was, given the fact that there was a need for a just war, given all of these traditions of a martial ethos to fight for the advance of the faith, it might as well be directed in the right direction. And so Cluny, in this sense, helped contribute to the traditions that led to the Crusades. I mentioned in an earlier lecture also that the investiture controversy and the wars that the popes had to wage in Italy during the 11th century also stressed this point of holy war. Pope Leo IX, the pope who had tried to forge an alliance with the Byzantines against the Normans, Robert Guiscard, who was defeated, died in captivity, and his legates, who passed the bull of excommunication on the Patriarch of Constantinople, Leo IX summoned contingents from Germany as soldiers of Christ, Milites Christi, to fight the Normans, to fight Robert Guiscard. Gregory VII had summoned various allies to fight the Holy Roman Emperor Henry IV as, again, the soldiers of St. Peter. So by the year 1095, there was established a very strong tradition of holy war, of summoning the warriors of Europe to advance, to protect and defend the faith. And what Urban did was to take that tradition and now combined it with this tradition to go on pilgrimage, to go seek out the holy places themselves and conquer them and protect them, and all of a sudden you have a crusade. On November 27th, 1095, Urban II drew on a variety of traditions I just described to launch the first crusade. The response was overwhelming. And as we shall see, he appealed to a variety of different images and messages, all of them met by different levels and classes of European society, and they marched off in the hope of retaking Jerusalem, which was seen in part as a holy pilgrimage, as an armed pilgrimage, as a way of interceding more closely with God, as a way of advancing the faith, as a way of keeping back the forces of Satan, the forces of darkness. And in Urban II, a new form of holy war has emerged in Western Europe. And it was also led by a series of nobles, Godfrey of Bouillon, Raymond IV, Bohemond, all men who had some type of experience or some type of association with all of these earlier precedents. And so the Crusades were on. And it is to Urban's credit that he was able to pull these traditions together and propel the forces of Western Europe in the direction of Jerusalem.